Welcome to The Convo. I am your host, Lakeisha Mosley. I'm a mom, a blogger, a brand influencer, and the event producer of my own event management company called The LM Experience. On The Convo, you'll hear conversations with some of the most profound entrepreneurs from all over the world as they share with us their wins and their losses. They'll also share tips and tricks with you that will help you be successful along this journey called entrepreneurship. Let's get started with the show. Nicole Wallington is a native of Greensboro, North Carolina, where she attended North Carolina Agricultural and Technical State University, earning a Bachelor's of Arts degree in psychology. Currently, Nicole is a school counselor with the Guilford County School System, as well as a national certified counselor and licensed clinical mental health counselor. She's the owner of Rising Phoenix Counseling and Counseling Services, as well as being a motivational speaker who seeks to break the stigma of mental health illness in the African American community. Nicole and I had such a great time talking about the things that she has going on in her anthology that just came out. Stay tuned for our show. Thank you so much for joining me today, Nicole, on Convo with Keisha. How are you?
I am well, thank you. I am so happy to be here.
Yes, I'm so excited to have you on the show today. So start by telling the guests a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Well, I'm from Greensboro, North Carolina, and I am an Aggie, which means I went to North Carolina A&T State University. And currently I'm a school counselor as well as a private practice therapist. I have a private practice called Rising Phoenix Counseling and Consulting Services of Consulting Services. So my main goal is to help remove the stigma of mental health in the Black community.
Yes, that is so important. And I'm so glad that you are one of the people advocating for something like that, because I know growing up myself, my grandmother suffered with mental health and we never knew about it. Like, we didn't know about it until we got older and we heard that she had a nervous breakdown. But it's this huge stigma, it seems to be, in the Black community that we can't go get help, that we're seen as, you know, less than, or that we're crazy because we need to seek help for things that are bothering us. So I'm so glad that you're an advocate for mental health. It's so important right now.
Thank you. Absolutely. You know, we come from a culture of what goes on in this house stays in this house.
Yes.
And so because of that, you know, it's important that we talk about what's going on, because, you know, mental health definitely, you know, we face different challenges today, but right. You know, there are sometimes that it travels through families.
True.
And if we're not talking about it, you know, we can't prepare for it. We don't know what it looks like. So it's important to get that communication going.
Yes.
And to have the heart, you know, have the conversation, even though it's a hard conversation to have.
Exactly. I agree with you 1,000%. And we're going through some really difficult times, you know, right now. So as a mental health therapist and a school counselor, how have you been adjusting during this time?
You are absolutely right. This 2020 has been more than a notion.
Yes.
You know, we are experiencing something that we don't have a roadmap for. And so just giving myself some grace and encouraging others to do the same for themselves, because there are going to be good days and there are going to be bad days. And then some days you just don't know what to expect. And so just taking the time to take a time out sometimes and just relaxing and just, you know, just kind of doing some breathing and yoga, working out and just doing different things to just kind of giving you that time to just relax for a little bit, mm-hmm. because it seems to be so much coming at you from one day to the next. So that's the biggest thing, is just allowing yourself to just have a time out and give yourself some grace to understand that, you know, even if today didn't work out and it didn't go as you may have planned, that you can just, you know, take a time out and then tomorrow you can start over again.
Right.
I love that you said giving yourself grace, because I think that is what we are failing to do right now with ourselves. We are just trying to keep going as normal when the times are not even normal. Like, this is not even normal times. Like, there's no manual, there's no script.
Absolutely.
That could have prepared us for what we are dealing with right now. You know, it started with COVID, and then, you know, the issues with George Floyd and the racial injustices just kind of added on top of that. And I think you're so right that we're not giving ourselves grace and others in this time frame. And it really can wreak havoc on us if we don't do those things.
Absolutely. Like you said, there is no normal right now. You know, as a matter of fact, you know, we're living in the new normal.
Mm-hmm.
Something that we didn't expect, and we don't know always how to handle it. So, you know, we have to give ourselves grace, because there are often times we feel like, well, we should just be able just to keep going, like you said, you know, operating as if everything is okay, nothing has changed. When we're honest, you know, a lot of things have changed and may never go back to what we know or what we once knew. So we have to give ourselves grace to adjust.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, I love how you said that. That is so, so important, especially now. And especially now with so much social injustice and reform, I've seen us gather and I've seen us come together in ways that I've never seen us come together. I absolutely love it. Like, we're loving all things Black, like times 10 now. I am so in love with us. I always But I'm just so in love with us and how we're coming together. We're promoting all things Black, including HBCUs. Now, I have to share, Nicole, I did not graduate from an HBCU. Okay. I did attend one. I started at Southern University in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, but I did transfer to another school. And so I didn't quite get that experience. I didn't. And I was able to experience it with a friend. Not too long ago, I went to his homecoming at PV. So I know they are very important. And I just chose this other school for personal reasons. It actually had a better program than what Southern University had. But share with us why HBCUs are so important today.
Man, so it's such a loaded question, because there are so many different factors as to why HBCUs are important. But, you know, mainly HBCUs, it's an environment that nurtures you. You know, professors care, and it's an environment where you can just be who you are and it's okay. And you learn the confidence, you learn you gain the confidence, the self-esteem, and to be able to perform in any environment that you go in. And it becomes a sense of home. You know, you're not just a number on the campus. You actually matter. And you can further your interests at a HBCU. And like I said, and be able to go in any environment once you leave there and know that you have the skills and the knowledge that it takes to perform there and beyond.
Yes. Yes, I love that. I really do. I had so much fun at his homecoming, and I actually wrote a blog post about it, but it was just so many moving pieces. I was like, oh my gosh, the people together have got to have 1,000 hands. I mean, as an event planner myself, I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, the number of events, you know, that go on. And I kind of like made fun. I was like, listen, for those of us who didn't attend HBCUs, you're going to have to give us a guide next time. Because it was funny, because it was so much stuff that I could get into. It was so many people, and everybody looked like me.
Absolutely.
Everybody looked like me. And everybody was having fun. Everybody was just... It was just a really different environment for me. And I know people are like, girl, you crazy. Like, really? No, I've never experienced that. I went to, you know, a predominantly white college. And so that experience wasn't there to be with my people. Although, you know, there were Blacks that were at Northwestern. Mm-hmm. However, it wasn't the same thing as like being there. Like, I see the nurturing, I see the taking care of each other. And that one common thing is we all look alike and we're celebrating our culture.
Absolutely. And another thing, you know, it makes a lot of difference. It makes a huge difference when Black people, you know, when we're out in the world, mm-hmm. Sometimes we feel like we have to wear a mask. You know, we can't be all of who we are. And when you attend an HBCU, you are free to do that. You can express yourself. You can say things in certain classes, and it's accepted because it's understood. This is a part of the culture. This is for the culture, and right. It's okay. And that's how that confidence, you know, is built. And that's how those skills are built, because these are 4 years or however many years that it takes to get through. But right. At that point in your life, you can be exactly who you want to be and who you need to be. And it's okay. And you don't feel like you have to wear a mask because this is home.
True. Exactly. And now that you say that, like, it made me, ever since everything kind of jumped out with George Floyd, like, these are not new issues. These right. are issues that have been going on for over 400 years. But I think something hit us this time to where we were like, listen, we not going for this no more. Like, we done. We are totally yeah. done. But it made me evaluate, Nicole, all of these events in my past life of, you know, going to a predominantly white university and the things that you would say in class that you had to explain, you know, like you had to be like, well, no offense. Well, like you just said, if I went to an HBCU and I talked about how slavery was so bad for my ancestors, I didn't have to excuse that away. It was okay to say that because everybody in the room came from descendants that were slaves.
Absolutely. And it's okay. You know, I had the privilege of graduating from James B. Dudley High School, which is a predominantly Black high school in Greensboro. And, but I also spent a year at a school that was the complete opposite. And the differences were night and day. And I excelled at the predominantly Black school, but it was also because I was welcomed and I felt like it was a place that I could be. It was a place, and when I say be, you know, I could be who I needed to be, and I could just, you know, as the example that you just gave, I didn't have to worry about stepping on someone's toes in my Blackness.
Exactly.
And at HBCU, is that feeling times 10, because at that stage of development in your life anyway, you are learning and growing and figuring out who I am and how I fit into this world. And being able to do that in an environment that nurtures you and that tells you this is okay. Right. Be who you want to be. And you can do anything you want to do. You can break any barrier that's in front of you. Mm-hmm. You can leap over any hurdle. You can do whatever it is that you want to do. And you feel that push and you feel that support.
Right.
So that's, you know, that is the need for HBCUs today, because our young people aren't getting that information. You know, they're having to watch, you know, I have an 8 and 9 year old.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about, you know, when I was their age, I was definitely aware of being Black because I was in a predominantly white school.
Right. Yeah.
And so I was, you know, I was aware of my Blackness, but I think about kids today, you know, my own children, as well as, the kids at my school,
mm-hmm.
they're seeing these things play out in front of them. And so, you know, they know the names, of George Floyd, and they can tell you exactly what happened because they've seen it themselves. And you know, you have to think, you know, what does this tell them? You know, what kind of message does this send to them? So that's another need for our HBCUs in the community, because we have to reinforce, just like the movement right now, the social justice or social injustices that are going on.
Right.
Just emphasize that to our kids and just the experiences that are going on. HBCUs are so needed in our community.
Yes. It, it, and it's, I think for myself, like my kids are older. So my kids are 24 and 21. What my daughter attends an HBCU. So mm-hmm. it's important even more so now for I think our children to get it. For me, I think the first hint of it that I got actually was when I pledged, AKA grad chapter. That's when I really was like, okay, so there's a whole nother world out here that I just totally missed out on. And then there was this hunger for learning more about my culture and where we come from and why HBCUs even had to be formed in the first place, because we weren't even allowed to go to our own school, you know, go to schools with, you know, other white people.
Absolutely.
I love that, you know, you talk about, you know, HBCUs and why they're important today, because I think a lot of people totally miss it. It's not about what they so-called see on TV. Yeah, it's fun and the music's good, but it's the culture, like you just said, of being with people that look like you, but also learning about where we come from and being really taken care of, and not to be made feel like what you're discussing has to be excused away.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I love that.
I love Nicole's passion as she talks about helping others with their mental health issues and removing the stigma of mental illness, as well as talking about how much she loves HBCUs. Stay tuned as we talk about her anthology that is coming out soon. We have to get a word from our sponsors.
So tell us about the first ever HBCU Queens anthology that you're a part of that's titled The HBCU Experience. The HBCU Royal University Queens edition. Tell us all about that. That sounds super exciting.
So I am totally excited about this piece of work. And I can't wait for others to read it. You know, we often see HBCU Queens and that's all we see is the crown.
Right.
You know, we get to see them walking around the track, waving and in all of their beauty. And so that's usually, you know, where it stops. It's just at the crown, but every crown has a story. And so this book is an opportunity for readers to get an insight of some of the stories that exist. And each queen is sharing something about their experience. And I think it's just so special. I'm so excited about it.
It sounds like it. And I can remember, and I'm about to tell my age, but I can remember back when Jet Magazine mm-hmm. was out and Ebony would always display the queens, the homecoming queens, or, you know, of the HBCUs. And it was so, like, amazing to me as a little kid to see these ladies with crowns on, because, you know, as girls, that's what we kind of grow up with, you know, being a princess, being a queen. And I can recall my daddy always calling me princess, but it was so amazing to see the beautiful ladies, you know, all of their crowns, to know what school they went to. Like, it was just so cool to see this. So this project sounds totally like needed. But it sounds so exciting, like, to be a part of something so big like that.
Oh, most definitely. And I'm very honored to be a part of the project. And I think, you know, what really makes it awesome is the fact that it's queens from different eras and different schools, different HBCUs. And right. So, you know, while we all share, we have the commonality of all being, you know, queens of our university, we all have different stories and we all have different impacts that we've made on our campus and, you know, in our communities. And so this is, you know, one piece of art, but it has so many different stories in it. And it's just, like I said, it's such an honor to be a part of it.
Right. Oh, that's so exciting, Nicole. I can't wait. I cannot wait. So tell me, what do you hope others take away from your chapter in the book?
Well, without giving too much away, the name of my chapter is Play Big. And there are times where I have let fear hold me back, or at least struggle with fear. And so I talk about that experience and how, you know, we have to feel the fear and do it anyway.
Right.
When it comes to different things in our lives that we are unsure about, or we don't know what's going to happen, you know, we have to play big, and we have to have that confidence that we're going to be okay. Right. And that we can still reach the goal regardless of what's going on.
I love that, because I think we play small so often. We just don't, like, it's for some reason we feel like we just can't. And I love that that's the title of your chapter, to play big, because think about who all is watching us. Our kids are watching us. There are others that are watching us. And sometimes our message really, really will help other people.
Absolutely. And I hope that that this is exactly what this book will do. And, you know, sometimes when we don't play big, you know, we never know, like I said, we never know who we impact.
Right.
Because we never may come in contact with them.
That's true.
And so all of our experiences or the things that we go through are not just for us. You know, they are for other people as well. So that, you know, I know that if this person made it through and they decided to play big and not let fear hold them back, well, then maybe I can too.
Exactly. Exactly. It's so many people that I think when they see how people have overcome, mm-hmm. people have done things that they may be sitting back looking like, oh, I want to do that too. Or I would love to do that, but they're so afraid because there may not be any good examples out there. We step out and do those things, and it just really like makes it seem to them like this is doable.
Absolutely. I can do this. Absolutely. You know, you have people that, and that's what I was saying earlier, as far as, you know, when you see the miss A&T or the Miss South Carolina State, Miss Southern, whoever it may be, you only see the crown. And so sometimes we only look at the end of a story and we don't realize what all someone had to go through to actually get that crown, whether it be a HBCU queen or any other goal that you may have. And understand that, you know, there's always a story behind everything. No one just woke up in the morning and they were just on top of their game.
Exactly. Exactly. It comes with something. Yes, that is so true. So let's talk about, you know, your reign as Miss NCA&T. What skills did you gain during that time that you still use today?
Well, I was Miss North Carolina A&T, so I'm great to age myself as well. I was Miss North Carolina A&T 2000-2001, so I was the Millennium Queen. And I gained some valuable experiences and skills. I was able to strengthen my leadership skills, because you have to be ready all the time. Mm-hmm. And also I was able to work on putting boundaries in place and learning how to say no. Many times, you know, we want to please everybody, you know, and sometimes we don't want to make anybody mad.
Right.
However, what you learn is that you can please some people sometimes, but you cannot please all people all the time. And so you have to learn how to be comfortable with who you are and know what your purpose is, so that you understand that it's okay if I haven't pleased everybody, but I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And so that means that sometimes I have to say no, and I have to put that boundary in place. And that's not always an easy lesson to learn. But being in the position of Miss North Carolina A&T, it helped me to see that that's something that is necessary, that boundaries are necessary. And that was probably one of the strongest lessons that I learned.
Right. Right. I tell people all the time, no is a complete sentence.
It is a complete sentence. Absolutely.
And it does not need any further explanation. It doesn't have to come with an excuse behind it. No, it's just what it is. And
absolutely,
when you place those boundaries in place, they are there to stay, and you shouldn't even, you know, move them around. You shouldn't adjust them. I mean, unless you just necessarily have to. And I think it's really good also, you know, for your psyche and your mental health, especially if you're saying yes to stuff that you really don't want to say yes to.
Right. Absolutely.
That's my goodness. So tell the listeners how they can get connected with you.
Well, they can find me on Instagram under Rising Phoenix Counseling, and that's all one word. Facebook, Nicole Watlington. So those are two avenues to get in touch with me.
Okay, great. And when is the anthology coming out?
It is already out. So it came out this past Tuesday.
Okay.
And I believe that was the 7th. Yeah, that was July 7th. Yes. And overnight, we all became bestseller authors. So it's it's even more exciting. Yeah. We were number 29 out of 100. So everyone is just so excited, and just I can't wait for others to just to read it.
Yes, that's awesome. Okay, so tell us how we can get the book.
So you can get the book through Amazon. And it is a link that I can, I don't know if I need to send it to you or.
Yeah, send it to me and I can put it in the show notes.
Okay. So we can do that. But it is available on Amazon right now.
That is awesome. And I hope listeners that you all help them further be best-selling authors. And we buy this book and we support them. It's so important that we support each other, especially at a time like this. We definitely need to buy and promote all things Black, all things that our brothers and sisters are doing. So that is so awesome to hear, Nicole. I really love to hear that. And I'm so glad that you joined me today on the podcast. This has been like so much fun to talk about this anthology and to talk about what you do. So it was great having you as a guest.
Thank you so much. And you're absolutely right. We do need to support each other at this time. So thank you for all the work that you do. You are definitely appreciated for giving people this platform just to share, you know, what they have going on. And I'm just excited and can't wait for people to read the anthology.
Yes, I'm excited. I'm definitely going to order one myself, probably a couple to give out to some people, but I am definitely going to support. So thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to The Convo. I hope you enjoyed the show. Be sure to subscribe on Anchor or Apple Podcasts.